Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Served up hot and fresh on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson with us today. Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler will be here in about an hour to join us. Baby Tausch off to Green Bay for the wedding that we've heard so much about. Monday should be fun, Gary, to hear what happens at said wedding tomorrow and the rehearsal dinner tonight and everything else that they have going on today and tomorrow.
I would say that Monday will be an interesting day because Monday is the Packer Hall of Fame golf outing.
Oh, so you're going to miss the story probably because you're going to be golfing in the golf outing.
Yeah, I'm sure I hear about it, though. He's going to be there, right, I think.
Baby Tausch is out there. Ryan Horvat will be out there as well.
Perfect.
Yep, everybody will be out there.
And normally we get Mark Murphy.
Mm-hmm. Last year, I didn't talk. Stayed out of it.
Yeah, last 4 or 5 years we got Mark.
Yep.
So that'll be interesting, and then we normally hear from some of the retired players, and that'll be a great time, and so it'll be worth listening to radio if we can get Mark Murphy again. So we'll see how that shakes out.
Yeah, so probably definitely want Baby Tausch to tell that story prior to all these people hearing it.
I'm sure you're hearing.
Depending on how bad things go this weekend, so we'll find out how that goes.
Well, they'll tie Green Bay all in together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because that's where the wedding is.
That's why.
We'll see how it all goes. Okay, so big news last night. The NBA trade happens last night. To go along with all the other big news of the NBA season, teams are just going to look totally different.
Crazy.
And it just continues again last night. And this time, the Rockets send Chris Paul two protected first-round picks and two pick swaps to the Thunder for Russell Westbrook, who then becomes reunited with his former teammate from Oklahoma City, James Harden. And Oklahoma City now, you would assume, is going to move on from Chris Paul as soon as they can. And the full rebuild will be on in Oklahoma City. This is a organization that came from Seattle, really only had the one down year to begin with, and then they shot off to the playoffs pretty much every year since then with Harden and Durant and Westbrook and Ibaka and Kendrick Perkins, and they were off and running and never capped it off with a ring. Never were able to finish the deed with all the many opportunities they had in the playoffs, could never win the whole thing. So from a Thunder fan, I don't know if you're looking at this as disappointment of, man, with all the players we had and we're never able to win one, that's got to be a pretty big disappointment. And now for the first time since they've been in Oklahoma City, a true rebuild of being at the bottom of the NBA and trying to have to fight your way back up, Gary.
No, I mean, we were going to talk about this a little bit yesterday, and we just never really got to it, but our thoughts were Miami, right? I mean, we thought that Westbrook was going to go to Miami. We kept talking about him and Butler playing. We knew that was going to be explosive, but it could be fun to watch. And then all of a sudden, after our show ended, I get home, and boom, there it is. Westbrook is going to Oklahoma City, and apparently led by James Harden, really vouched for Russell Westbrook, wanted him there. Westbrook wants to be in Houston, and Chris Paul gets to be the odd guy out. This has been absolutely crazy, the way that the NBA has gone this year. I don't know if I've ever seen it so volatile.
Well, get ready. 2021 is going to be just like this year, I think.
And we talked about 2021 yesterday with Giannis and, you know, what's more likely to happen. Giannis stays or Giannis get recruited somewhere else. And we all agree that if it's going to happen, Giannis probably going to get recruited somewhere else. And I think for Giannis, not trying to get directly off topic from yesterday, but Giannis, I think it all depends on what they do this year with the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks this year just have to get to the championship game. They have to get to the finals. I mean, if you would do it right now today, stop it, I think they'd be the favorite to win the East. I mean, we could have came here today, had Westbrook gone to Miami. I think our conversation today would be, is Miami in contention to win the East with Westbrook and Jimmy Butler and our local hero, Tyler Hero, and, you know, with everything that they have down there. But now everything is out west once again, and the West is packed, loaded. I mean, you've got the West once again is absolutely. We'll see what happens when Durant comes back. I mean, that's 2 years away, but that will be the Nets and Kyrie. We'll see what they can do. But right now, I don't think the Nets are a threat to the Milwaukee Bucks. I think the Bucks is to lose. But I've never seen this being so volatile. I've never seen really how players are actually running the league right now.
See, this is interesting the way this Rockets team sets up right now, because this isn't Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook, where Russell Westbrook could be the ball dominant guard and Jimmy Butler will find his spots. This is Russell Westbrook play next to another ball dominant guard in the backcourt and James Harden. I mean, James Harden will bounce the air out of the basketball before he decides to go do something. And Russell Westbrook will bounce the air out of the basketball before he decides to go do something. And the thing about it is, they will be way better in transition, obviously, with Russell Westbrook. I think Russell Westbrook helps them defensively versus Chris Paul. I think he'll get more steals and be able to get out and run a little bit.
It felt like Chris was done.
Yeah, I don't know how much more he has left.
That's what I'm saying.
To me, a little bit, I would just wonder how much he was kind of deferring to Harden and kind of letting it be Harden's deal here. I just wonder if Chris Paul stays in Oklahoma City, which I don't think he will, but if he were to stay in Oklahoma City and he got to be the guy again, how he would change, how more aggressive he would become, how all of his numbers would change if he got to go be that guy on a basketball team.
No, you're right, Steve. I'd like to see him in Miami, though. I really would. And I think they'd be, because I think just to me, he just fell off so quickly. I think he got tired of fighting with Harden. I think there were some disagreements there. And he just took a back seat and he says, because I never saw all this stuff that was going on, but they showed all these clips last night of Harding and Chris Paul going at it. I mean, on the sideline. I mean, it was just relentless almost every single game. And I think Chris Paul just got to say, you know what? I'm done. It's your team. I came here. You can have it. And he just got beat down. I think maybe he can go somewhere else and do something.
I think some of this is Chris Paul,
no doubt about it.
Because it was Chris Paul and Blake Griffin couldn't get along with the Clippers. Sure. That Chris Paul goes to Houston, and now he can't get along with James Harden.
No doubt about it.
Hey, man, this is two teams now where you can't get along with your guys. So, and they say he's a good leader and all this other stuff, and that very well may be. J.J. Watt tweets out, you know, Chris Paul gets moved
first
to Houston, and boom, he calls JJ and asks him how he can help with a hurricane.
First one.
Very first one. So obviously he's a good dude, but clearly there's some issue here with him getting along with other star players or whatever the case may be throughout the course of a season. He's a competitor. All of that stuff is going to occur.
But that's the thing, Steve. Who's going to take the back seat? I mean, that's what happened with LeBron and D-Wade.
Right.
One of those, somebody's got to be the second. Somebody's got to say, okay, you're the man. You got it, and can we all enjoy the success that we have that's going to come to us together?
And that's the one thing. So the talk right away was Miami, Chris Paul, Jimmy Butler, right? Mm-hmm. That was the one talk. I saw another speculative thing put out there from a guy on the West Coast throwing out there that the Lakers could get very well back involved in this because they got a lot of short-term deals that they could package together and bring Chris Paul to come play with his buddy, LeBron James, in L.A. and go across town and play for the Lakers.
Right.
That would be interesting, adding Chris Paul to that mix with Anthony Davis and LeBron James and giving them a big three.
Right.
that would be a legitimate big three at that point, still having DeMarcus Cousins. So we'll see how that plays out. But this thing with Oklahoma City, and you look at the Western Conference,
loaded.
And we start talking about, okay, big twos, right? And we were talking about this yesterday as far as, okay, Middleton's the second guy, but really where is he when you start stacking up duos in the NBA? Well, when you put Westbrook with James Harden, are those two guys at the same level, better or worse, than, say, Paul George and Kawhi? Same level, better or worse, than an older LeBron and Anthony Davis?
Let me ask you this. I like that.
Lillard and McCollum.
Okay, let me I had this on my list, and I didn't give it to you today. Think about this. Give me your top five, just top five duos in the NBA.
Right now?
In order. Just think about it. Maybe you're going to get a pen and paper.
Well, I think it's Kawhi and Paul George.
That's one for you?
That's one for me. Yeah. For me, that's one right now.
Really?
Yeah. Who's one for you?
Anthony Davis and LeBron.
Yeah, I'm just not sold on LeBron being LeBron. But
Okay. And Kawhi and Paul George are two for me.
Right. So you just essentially reversed them. Yeah. Right? So
would that be the same for you?
That was my second, LeBron and him. And then after that, it would probably be Lillard and McCollum as my third duo behind those two. Who was third for you?
Third for me would be Westbrook and Harden.
My thing with James Harden and Westbrook just is, and like you said, I just don't know.
From a skill standpoint.
From a talent standpoint, they're both MVPs. Right. I mean, yeah, no doubt. The guy is triple-double in a year in Westbrook. Harden's done what he's done over the course of time. And remember, too, back when Harden finished second to Westbrook, the year that he had his triple-double, they were Houston's. Like media relations, everything else, were lobbying against Russell Westbrook. Why he should have won MVP.
Right.
The Rockets fan base was going at the Oklahoma City Thunder fan base and everything else. And now that guy who you were rooting against and going after is now on your roster.
Yes.
And now you have to root for said guy. Mm-hmm. Just crazy. All right.
All right, real quick. Who's three then for you?
Three was Lillard and McCollum.
Who's four?
Probably those two.
Okay.
Four probably for me. Westbrook and Harden.
Lillard McCollum, that'd be four for me.
Right. Yeah. That's probably what it would be.
Who'd be five? It gets interesting. Yeah. Not Philly?
Embiid and who? Embiid and who? Who's your second guy with Embiid?
Well, it's got to be the other first-round pick. The guy with the broke jump shot, right?
But you got Tobias Harris, who you just gave max money to. You have Ben Simmons. You have Al Horford.
Yes.
So who's the other guy with that be that you're putting with?
Or is it Kemba and
and who? Jaylen Brown?
Yes.
Tatum?
Yes.
I mean, go through and pick. No.
No, no. None of them?
I think Giannis and Middleton are the next.
Is your
next
fifth?
Duo. Is five, yeah.
You sure?
I would say Giannis and Middleton.
I'm going to put this on paper. You think they crack your five?
I think so. I'd have to look at the NBA standings and go over team by team of all the duos in the NBA. This is going off the top of my brain.
I know. We're just doing on top of your brain.
Right. I mean, we haven't even talked about Golden State, Steph Curry, and Draymond. Because there's no Klay yet.
Right.
But then eventually
we're
be
saying
Steph
duos.
And, right. But eventually Klay will be back this year, and then it would be Steph and Klay.
So say if there's a healthy Klay, would Steph and Klay be your fifth?
No, I would still go Giannis and Middleton.
You still go Giannis and Middleton.
I'd still go Giannis and Middleton, and then Steph and Klay. Klay can be streaky, man. Klay,
and Middleton can't?
Yes, Middleton can too. But I'd rather have Giannis than Steph.
Okay.
So that's where my deciding factor is on
got
that.
You.
Right. He's Gary Ellison, C-Sparky Fiverr. How much better are the Rockets with Russell Westbrook? Are they better than the Bucks now after making that move? Because I think a lot of people already had the Clippers and the Lakers in front of the Bucks when it came to odds to win an NBA championship. What say you? 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Want to hear from you on the phones. You can also tweet us at 105.7FM. The Fan. Don't forget about the Fan Facebook page, too. And anytime you're looking to put in new windows into your house, there is only one place, Gary Ellerson.
Yeah, there is, guys. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, folks. The best windows and doors out there. Pella has 9 different lines to choose from. Go to PellaWI.com to start the process. And, folks, right now they're offering 0% down, 0% financing for 18 months, no payment until June of 2020. Experience the Pella difference. When you work with Gina Della from Pella, you work with her and her entire team, guys. They're there to make your job run smoothly, guys. And don't worry about the weather. The Pella team installs year-round. So call them today at 262-783-6600. That's 262-783-6600. Or go to PelloWI.com. Ask for the zero down, zero financing, zero payment for 18 months. And tell Gina Della from Pello Windows and Doors of Wisconsin that Gary and Leroy sent you.
Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh, only on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellers, the former Packer and Badger running back, Anthony Mandela producing the show today, AmFam interning. How much better are the Rockets with Russell Westbrook after the trade last night? Are they now better than the Bucks? Those are the questions on the table. I want to hear from you, 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan, and lots of tweets coming in on this one. David tweets at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Our team, in capital letters, is better than theirs. Paul and Harden have played together before, though. I don't think Russ would go there if he didn't think it would work. This is the thing, Gary. The last time these two guys played together, Russell Westbrook was a little bit younger in his career, and Kevin Durant was the guy on that roster. James Harden was the sixth man on that team, not even in the starting lineup. And James Harden was trying to figure out how he could become a star in this league and wasn't the same type of player as he was once he got to Houston and was given the keys to the franchise and said, go lead us. And then James Harden became who James Harden is today when he was essentially unlocked. These two guys really have never played together. Not in their current forms. No. Not at the MVP superstar levels that they are currently at now. And I think that is going to be the biggest difference.
No, it is. And so now you, and both guys have had success independent of each other. And how now do they try to get their skills to play with one another? Now, they both said they wanted this trade. So they both are agreeing to have it. I think they both have to have a come to Jesus meeting and talk about how this is all going to work, because really, it's a pretty good team. I mean, you look at what they still have left. They still have a nucleus of guys that are there that they still can build around. Now, how are they going to make it work? Westbrook is not a three-point shooter. I mean, his shooting percentage is not very good. But I would suspect that they may make him the point guard. And I think Harding is going to have to feed off that, because I think you look at Westbrook, he can drive, penetrate, and dish. And I think that's how they're going to have to go with this. Now, to me, Westbrook doesn't fit what D'Antoni wants to do, but I guess they'll have to make it work.
But see, the other thing about the Houston Rockets situation is, and I don't really hear anybody talking about it nationally to this point, is if we remember correctly, at the beginning of last year, they were struggling big time. Yes. Their defense had left them, and everybody was trying to figure out what happened. What happened was Bizdelic wasn't on that coaching staff. And then they went and got Bizdelic back as an assistant coach, and then they started to play better on that side of the floor.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Bizdelic isn't coming back.
Nope.
He's going to the New Orleans Pelicans and is going to be on that coaching staff this year because David Griffin has done everything perfectly correct all offseason, so why not go get the best defensive coach in the NBA to come coach with the Pelicans as an assistant? That's another area where I think they're going to have problems too, because if D'Antoni can't figure out somebody to get them to play on the other side of the floor, and they look anything close to what they looked like in the first half of last season before Bizdelic came back in, that's going to be a problem for the Rockets.
Sure, it is.
And if you look at that Western Conference and you start to line it up right now, right? So everybody says it's the Clippers one and then the Lakers, or you can flip-flop. Either way, right?
Lakers one.
Right. So however you want to do it. So it's 1-2 as far as teams go. Now, we're not talking duels. We're talking teams. So 1-2. And then once you get past those two, for me at least, then it's Denver, Utah, Portland, then probably Houston at that point down there at about 6, somewhere in that area. That's kind of where it shapes out to me.
I would agree with you on that.
Right? I mean, that's what we're looking at. And we still don't have we still don't have Golden State in that conversation at that point. You still haven't put in Sacramento or San Antonio or some of these other teams that were in the mix last year in the Western Conference. They haven't been put in. So Golden State then at 7 maybe, San Antonio maybe at 7 at that point. The Pelicans, I think, are going to be in the playoffs. So I think they end up in, and I think the Dallas Mavericks are going to be in the playoffs. That's why
I don't know about the Mavericks. The Mavericks going to be there.
That's why I think, providing Porzingis is healthy and Doncic is healthy and those guys, Luka's healthy. Yeah, I think so. So I think Dallas and the Pelicans end up in the playoffs, and the Lakers. Those three teams missed last year. The teams that made the playoffs last year, they very well could miss this year. I think Golden State, Oklahoma City, and San Antonio could miss the playoffs and made the playoffs last year in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I could see that.
And then the Lakers, New Orleans, and Dallas end up in. Those other three end up out.
I could see that. No doubt about it.
That's how I look at it. And Bart Winkler, God bless his soul.
Our buddy.
God bless him. I was in here this morning, and their show was all done. And I wasn't even talking to him. I was having a conversation with Ryan Horvath in the Jock Lodge area. They have these cubicles set up for the guys that work out of the air to work on computers or whatever, and it's right outside the production studio. And Bart comes walking by and starts having a conversation, and Bart goes, "Hey, did you put any money on Gold State?" I go, "What, not making the playoffs?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Bart, I couldn't tell you the last time I made a bet about anything at this point."
What's up with these guys gambling all the
no
time?
No doubt.
All these guys.
So Bart's like, "I'll bet you $100. I'm like, "How much money do you make, dude? Seriously, you bet you go
all
around
the time.
All the time." I was like, "You just go around, just bet all they this do. Money. Like, you all make too much damn money. You're making right. bets like
tell
this, dude.
Yeah.
I'm not betting $100 on whether or not some random NBA team makes the playoffs or not. That's crazy." That morning show, though, boy, they are throwing around.
Oh, they do. I hear them all the time. Bet. What are these guys doing?
Horvath said Bart just cashed in on a $500 win or something.
Or did he do something with Wicket?
Yeah. No, I think he. Yeah,
I think
Wicket owed him.
Yeah,
Wicket owed him money.
Yeah,
is what ended up happening.
I got
a lot of money flowing.
Man, I got bills to pay. I got kids. I don't know.
But see, forever, I always thought it was fake. Like, I didn't think they were actually paying each other. I thought this was just all for show.
Yeah, like we just said, I bet you.
Right, like matchsticks. Yeah. Imagine five matchsticks or whatever. And you're right. Well, I didn't think these fools in the morning were actually. Adding up all this money.
Yeah,
I thought it was just like a scoreboard. They're keeping track of, whoever had the most bets won or whatever. Oh, no, these folks really pay us.
These folks.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
These folks.
Nope.
I can't do it.
Nope.
You know what? Now, I would say this, Steve. If you start looking at Houston, are they a better team than the Milwaukee Bucks?
No.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't think that they are either. Now, this thing, but did you look at their roster? Houston's roster. Did you look at it?
Well, they signed Tyson Chandler today to back up Clint Capella.
Right.
So they got him.
Eric Gordon still, right?
Yeah, but Gordon's going to have to come off the bench now, I'd assume.
Well, that's fine. That's what makes him deeper, is what I'm saying.
So that makes them the sixth man.
Yes.
Him the sixth man coming off the bench. Yeah. Oh, they got some.
Are we being homers here by saying that Houston is not better than the Bucks? The Bucks are better than Houston, and that Giannis and Middleton are the fifth best duo in the NBA.
When
are we being homers?
Westbrook and Harden stop bouncing the air out of the ball
and
start sharing
with
each other. Fine. If that offense actually flows and there's ball movement, then we all are going to, everybody's going to be like, "Holy crap, this is actually working in Houston." Like, nobody thought this was going to happen. But right now, everybody's viewpoint is it's going
to
be your turn, my turn.
So
okay, Russ, you go ahead this possession. I'm going to stand over here in the corner and watch. If you get in trouble, throw it to me in the corner. I'll knock down a three. And then it's going to be Harden, pound, 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 pound. And Russell Westbrook's going to be standing over there with his hands on his hips watching Harden go one-on-one. That's not going to work. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think that's going to work throughout the course of a season. it'll work against lesser teams.
Sure.
But when you play better basketball teams with more talent, for instance, Philadelphia, what are they going to do with the Sixers, who are super long across the front? You're going to keep trying to run yourself into a wall up against those guys? The other thing is, yes, Harden draws a lot of fouls. Yes, Harden will get to the line, and Harden will make his free throws and knock down threes.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Westbrook does not knock down free throws consistently all the time.
Doesn't.
He doesn't space the floor with his three-point shooting either. Now, maybe last year was an off year, but even if last year was an off year, in general, he's never been a great three-point shooter. He's get out and run, attack the rim, draw fouls. That's what he is, and he will kick. Right?
So
Houston has to have the shooters. I think they're okay there. Has to have the shooters to knock down shots to take advantage of Westbrook.
So what's our Achilles heel? You just name all what they... So what about Giannis?
What's Giannis?
What about Middleton? I mean, you just gave me the rundown on Houston.
Right.
What about Giannis and what about Middleton?
I think for the Bucks, it just comes down to whether or not Giannis could figure out that some type of jump shot to be a counter to what they stop.
But we don't know.
Middleton, you just assume it's going to be Middleton. But you assume Bledsoe's going to be Bledsoe.
And Middleton can't be Middleton. He just can't. If you're gonna say they're the fifth best duo in the NBA, he can't be Middleton.
Well, look at dude.
If that's what you're saying.
You're talking about a guy that's averaging almost 30 points a game in Giannis, and then Middleton at about 20. That's like 50 points a night.
What was his average?
I think last year was like 18 or whatever. Yeah, before that, it was 20.
Yeah.
Well, so let's say he's back at 20 again. And then Giannis is at 27, 28.
That's what I'm saying. That's why right now we've been homers. Because you want to give us the benefit of the doubt, but we want to be to make us look good, but we want to hold all these other teams' feet to the fire.
No, but I'll give him an explanation of why I think Middleton's a little bit better. I'm not saying he's going to be huge.
No.
But
it's 2 points. We're only talking 2 points.
Right. Somewhat difference here is that's first year with the new head coach. New head coach told him, don't do what you're good at. Go practice something else and start shooting threes. And he was good at threes too, but take away your mid-range game. So Middleton, I think, was in Middleton's head a little bit early on in the season trying to figure out how he was going to fit this offense, what they want him to do. He got sat in the one game for not getting back and playing defense. Remember that.
Yep.
Budenholzer
yep.
sat him down and said,
yep.
that's it.
Yep.
Went to overtime, still didn't get him off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And then Middleton seemed like it was okay. Plus, Middleton was playing for money that last summer.
Mm-hmm.
So he was being pressured a little bit. Now I think you come in, and now I think Middleton can play back with a little bit of ease, not have to worry about the money. He's paid. That's all done. Understands what Bud wants from him in the offense and can relax. I think last year a little bit, Middleton was pressing. He was in his own head a little bit, especially early. Now that's all done. He's getting paid. There's no pressure on him. He knows the offense, what Bud wants from him. He knows what he can work on this offseason to get better at what Bud wants him to
mm-hmm.
do. And away you go. That's why I think Middleton gets better. That does not mean that I think Middleton's not going to still be streaky, because Middleton himself has just admitted, dude,
that's
if you know my career,
is.
That's who I
that's
am.
That's who he is right now.
I'm going to go cold, I'm going to get a little tired, and then I'll fight out of it, and I'll get going again.
That's who he is.
So that's who he is. We understand that. But Bledsoe, to me, in all of this, is still going to be the biggest key for this Bucks basketball team, being that third cog, especially without Malcolm Brogdon. Because now he has to be that extension of the coach a little bit on the floor. He has to make the smart decisions. He has to get them into the right positions. Brogdon was able to help out a little bit where Bledsoe was able to play off the ball. Brogdon was able to run the offense.
So let me ask you this. What if? So you're saying here's what needs to happen. Giannis is scoring 30 points, and he gets a mid-range, he gets a jump shot. What if Embiid comes back in shape and be the best center in the NBA,
which he's got to play,
like everybody think that he is.
But he's got to play. You can't play 30 games. And then
no, I'm just saying. But what if we all doing what if with the Bucks?
Yeah, but Gary.
But what if?
But there has to be more what ifs. What if Ben Simmons learns how to have a jump shot?
Right. So that's the same thing. We did what if with Middleton, and
right.
we did what if with Bledsoe.
See, I think they.
But
are,
we're giving the Bucks the benefit of the doubt, and we're saying that Philly can't do it.
But what's the difference between the Bucks at Philly and the Bucks at Houston? Their chemistry is set. Philly's got to learn how to play together. Houston has to learn how to play together.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah.
All that. Al Horford in a beat side by side. How's that going to go?
Yeah.
Tobias Harris at the three having to defend threes. How's that all going to work? And then you're putting Richardson in there from the Heat. How's he going to play with Simmons?
Well, that's
there's
why
a
you,
lot
what,
of stuff
what,
there.
Tobias Harris defending three doesn't bother me with them.
Bothers the hell out of me.
Well, here's,
I don't think
here's,
he's quick enough.
Well, it doesn't have to be, because you right now you can play zone. You got help.
They
help
could play zone.
You
yep.
got help defense. So if you got Horford and Embiid behind him.
Yep. Two guys that can block shots and rebound. For sure. No doubt.
That protects him like never before.
Yep. No, you're right about that. But
he may just open up and say, go ahead.
And they're super long, too. I mean,
right.
so as far as
he
getting
may
their
open
hands
up,
and lanes and getting deflections
Steve,
and steals.
He may open up and say, go ahead, looking for the block. He's out running the other way
yep.
already.
Very well could. And he's going to have pressure on him. You're in Philadelphia on a max contract, and those folks in Philly are going
to
expect you to play like a max contract player.
He's going to have to score.
And I just don't.
They're going to boot
him. I don't think he's going to get the shots to score. You got a lot of guys. Simmons going to get his shots. Horford's going to get his. And Embiid's going to get his.
I don't think Horford's going to get his.
We'll see.
I think Horford's going to be a role player.
He's Gary Ellerson,
yes,
Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Anthony Mandela, other side of the glass with the Sports Flash coming up. And mom and dad, it's dinner time. You worked overtime, so you have no time. And that doesn't mean you have to cut corners. Wendy's quality kids meals have everything your kids like for just $1.99 after 4 p.m. And now you can get something for yourself at participating Wendy's for a limited time. And don't forget about their made-to-crave menu. She's got an upgrade, a chicken upgrade. Just when you thought the Made to Crave menu couldn't get any more delicious, Wendy's has a full lineup of awesome chicken sandwiches joining the ranks. Introducing the Avocado BLT Sandwich, the Sossum Bacon Chicken Sandwich, and the Barbecue Chicken Sandwich. That's the best one, I think. Three bold choices packed with flavor. So why settle for basic when you can upgrade with fresh, never frozen beef or tasty premium chicken? Go ahead and satisfy those cravings with any one of Wendy's epic choices. Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh, only on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Thanks for tuning in today. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Packer, Badger running back Gary Ellerson, Anthony Mandela producing today's show. Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler will be in here in about 20 minutes or so. He's in a meeting. I think he'll be joining us. Yeah.
Seth Serving here. If you have Instagram, and you can go to my Instagram page, I think it's Gary Ellerson. I have a picture of myself at training camp. So if you want to take a look at that picture of me at training camp, you can go and check that out. Training camp starts.
Are you clothed?
The 26th of July.
Are you clothed?
Hmm?
Do you have clothes on, man?
Yeah, man. I'm at training camp, dude. I was...
Yeah, I don't know. You post random pictures of you in, like, short jean shorts and all this other weird stuff. So no, I didn't know if, like, this isn't you sitting on the sideline without a shirt on or anything.
No. It's a training camp picture, I think back in 1985, maybe. So it's a young Gary Ellerson.
Yeah.
So if you want to take a look at that picture and see what's like, training camp starts July 26th, and I will, I think I'm going to be there. No, training camp starts July 25th on a Thursday, and I'm going to try to get down there on that Saturday, the 27th.
You're in the Charles Woodson golf outing again this year?
Yeah, that's the 26th.
Is Favre playing that this year? I just got a side eye. Like, you would not believe. Oh,
you
he
know,
gave me a side eye. I swear to
if
God,
he plays,
I know nothing about whatever I just walked into. I was just asking an honest question.
If he plays in anything, he should play in the Packer alumni one, which is Monday. He should be in that. That's the one he should be in.
Right.
Well, actually, that's the Packer Hall of Fame. He should, because, I mean, all his memorabilia is in that Hall of Fame, all that stuff.
I don't see that.
All the proceeds from the Packer Hall of Fame golf tournament goes to the Packer Hall of Fame. The Charles Woodson golf tournament, which is the 26th, I think it was at Thornberry, all the proceeds will go to Charles Woodson charity. But, yeah, there are a number of Charles Woodson former teammates that, you know, Donald Driver.
I would assume so, yeah.
They're all there. But, yeah, no Brett Favre.
It's pretty cool that Charles Woodson still does stuff back in the Green Bay area. It really is. When he left and was done, went to play for the Raiders, I was like, well, won't see him anymore. Figure he'll just do all of his stuff in Oakland,
totally
and, out in California, and that would be the end of it, or back in Michigan where he played his college ball. I didn't think he'd come back here often, but he really does.
Totally thought the same thing.
Yeah.
And then he got inducted into the Wisconsin Sports Hall of Fame,
yep,
a couple years ago.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he's still here. And I don't know,
beloved by Packer
fans. Do you
fans.
See him as a Raider or a Packer?
A Packer.
You do?
Me. Dude, I just...
I follow him on Instagram. His Raider following is unbelievable.
No,
those
not.
Are two huge fan bases.
Well,
but
he was there twice.
Yes.
Young and old, Charles mm-hmm. Woodson. But for me, having done Packer parties and all that other stuff a lot of the time, Charles Woodson's fan base, dude, was just as big as any quarterback that's played for the Packers with Rodgers or Favre. I'm telling you, that man walked on water there for a couple years with Packer fan. Like, there was nobody else bigger than Charles Woodson. When you go out to a bar, and
sure,
people would get behind Charles Woodson. Mm-hmm. They loved that dude. And then he does the little thing about, we'll go see him at the White House, that speech, and that just grew
right.
the legend.
Didn't that grow?
Just blew it up.
Because he didn't talk much in the locker room.
And people still loved him. Didn't matter.
Right. Didn't
just
matter,
because
he's Charles Woodson.
And once he does that, that was
right.
it. Legend
right.
forever then.
Right. He's got a resume.
It's all done once he did that.
For itself.
People just got chills just
mm-hmm.
watching it.
No doubt about
Everybody
it.
Everybody went crazy. That's a legendary Packer ball. But do they have that at the Packer Hall of Fame?
The speech?
That video?
No,
they should.
I haven't seen it.
They
and I
should.
I haven't been in the Packer Hall of Fame in a little bit, so.
They should.
They should.
They should.
That speech should be
yep.
there. No
That's,
doubt about
that,
it.
That Woodson speech should be at the Packer Hall of Fame.
Somewhere.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yes, no question about it. All right, we'll take a quick time out. We'll come back on the other side. Talk about what are your expectations for this Brewers baseball team coming up here for the next 2.5 months of the baseball season. Trade deadline's a couple weeks away. Brewers half game out behind the Chicago Cubs as of right now. Cubs at a 0-0 game, top of five at Wrigley against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So we'll talk about that coming up next here on the Wendy's Big Show. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh. Get yourself a Frosty. Beautiful day. Go get yourself a Frosty over at Wendy's. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Packer, and Badger running back Gary Ellerson. Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler will be in here in a few minutes. Coming up in the next hour, we'll talk with Rob Reichel from Forbes and BobMcGinnFootball.com. He'll join us at 3:48. He's got a nice series going on the Packers at Forbes.com. Also checking with Adam McKelvey before the Brewers start their second half. He'll join us at 4:48. And speaking of those Brewers, what kind of expectations do you have for the Brewers here in the second half as we get ready to get back underway tonight against the Giants? Chase Anderson on the mound for the Brew Crew tonight in that one. Gary Ellerson, what say you about the Brewers in their second half?
Well, I just
half game out of first as of right now.
Well, you know, I think this is almost, I'm going to give you a little football speech, but this is almost coming out of halftime, right?
Yeah, a little past halftime. Yep.
Well, because of the All-Star break, because of where you are so close, you can't afford to go on a losing streak right now.
Mm-mm.
You got to come out. You got to put your foot on the throat right now. You can't, because if you get down four games, it's practically over.
I mean, going into the All-Star break, Cubs were 4-6 in their last 10. Brewers 4-6 in their last 10. Cardinals 4-6 in their last 10. Pirates were 6-4. Reds were 5-5. So really, not much good going on in the Central going into the break.
And it feels like that this Brewers baseball team is a 500 team. But Steve, when you read off though, I was totally shocked.
The division numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Brewers own the division more so than anybody else by a lot.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
would have never thought that until you read those numbers off. So that tells me, because you're going to play a lot of games against the Cubs, they have an opportunity to win it or lose it. Right there.
Yeah.
No question. That's where it is. And you've been kicking their tails all year long. I don't see why that should stop.
It'll be fun to see how this all plays out. So earlier today, we're making a journey down to Kansas City. Josh Vernier, who used to be on the Wendy's Big Show, is getting married at the end of September. So we're going down there for his wedding. And it's on a Saturday, and it's at the end of September. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to the wedding on Saturday and then start the long journey of driving back on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So we bought tickets in St. Louis for Cubs Cardinals, huge rivalry, mm-hmm. last game of the year mm-hmm. between those two teams.
Yeah, it's going to be something.
I'm telling you, that could decide the Brewers' fate, could decide the Cardinals' fate, mm-hmm. could decide the Cubs' fate. That game could have huge implications.
It's going to be something.
On the way back, as we're driving back from St. Louis. So I'm looking forward to going to that game, because as of right now, again, you look at the standings. Cubs in first place by half game over the Brewers. Cardinals 2 back. Pirates 2.5 back. And in dead last, the Reds still only 4.5 back.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
They're all there.
That's it. 4.5 back, dead last. If you look at every other division in baseball, Gary, no second place team is closer than 5.5 games.
Right.
And that's the Indians to the Twins. 6 back are the Nationals. Everybody else, 6.5 back are the Rays. 7 back are the Athletics of the Astros. And the Dodgers are 13.5 up on second place Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
That division's way done. So literally, even the Reds in last place have hope at this point of still maybe win this division and having a chance at something.
No,
even in last place.
And so now you'll see what moves that teams are going to be making.
Yep.
Because all those guys are in shot. What are the Brewers are going to do? What are the Reds are going to do? I mean, can the Cubs do anything else? I mean, so now the Brewers last night, they go get Shelby. What's this guy's name?
Yeah, they brought Shelby in, a former Braves pitcher.
He was a great
young pitcher, and now he'll go to AAA. Smiley pitched last night for the Brewers in AAA. Pitched pretty good. For San Antonio last night, and now Shelby's going to get his chance down there. And this is a guy who was coming off Tommy John from a couple of seasons ago, but a guy that
was an All-Star.
I think at one point he was. Yeah, I'll double check, but I think he's been on at least.
I think he was on an All-Star team.
I'm pretty sure he was. Yeah, I'll look it up.
Was he
Shelby Miller
with the Braves?
Yeah, Yep, he was with the Braves. Yep, that was one of the teams he was on. Let's see. Shelby Miller in his career was with the Cardinals, the Braves, the D-backs, and then the Rangers as of last year. Shelby Miller, best year was 2015 with the Braves, 17-6 with a 3.02 ERA in 33 games pitched that year. But that was the last time he's had anywhere decent of a respectable ERA.
2015?
Yeah, and he was an all-star that year.
4 years ago.
Yeah, he was an all-star. The following year, 3-12 with the D-backs, the 6.15 ERA in just 20 starts. Only made four starts in 2017, only made four starts in 2018. And this year had made eight starts, but pitched in 19 games, had an 8.59 ERA this year. After having a 10.69 ERA last year, but he only pitched 16 innings last year and only 22 the year before that. But again, remember, coming off of Tommy John a couple years ago.
So we're trying to fix him.
Trying to rejuvenate him. And as far as what I read, I believe his fastball is still cooking. So his fastball velocity doesn't appear that he's lost anything there. Maybe. If I were them, I'd try him in the rotation first and then go from there and see what happens. Because if Smiley and Shelby Miller can get back to anywhere close to where they were, those would be two huge additions to this rotation down the stretch. Yeah. Well, and again, they're cheap alternatives. You're not giving up anything. You're not paying anything for either one of these two guys. And if they go to San Antonio and they suck, okay, then just release him again and you move on.
Right.
But what he's doing right now is, with a couple weeks to go before the All-Star break, is he's kind of throwing stuff at the wall and going, can I get a couple cheap alternatives so I don't have to give up the farm to go get another pitcher? That's what I'm trying to do. And if I can, then that's great. Then I can save myself some prospects and maybe just go get a reliever or two for the bullpen and work good. So I get Stern's philosophy.
No, I do too. And so you're just trying to find a diamond in the rough and a cheap alternative. But I would say this, though, Steve. I think at some point, if they're really going to make a move here, I mean, just pull away, they're going to have to go make a move. I mean, who they got tonight? Is it
San Francisco.
So is that Bumgarner?
No, Bumgarner is not pitching against them tonight.
No. But
he's with the Giants,
right?
Correct.
Wasn't he rumored?
For the Brewers. Yep.
Right.
Yep. That is correct, sir.
So could we get a deal done with
while they're here? You mean?
Yeah. Don't you remember back in the day when the Buffalo Bills came to town? It was Marshawn Lynch and A.J. Hawk, and it never happened.
We all thought it was going to happen. Remember? It's going to switch locker rooms. Let's get this done. Baumgartner pitches tomorrow night against the Brewers, against Zach Davies. Baumgartner comes in 5-7 with a 4.03 ERA. Zach Davies comes in 7-2 with a 3.07 ERA tomorrow night.
Do you want Baumgartner?
I'm not giving up anything for any of those guys. I told you, I don't think they're a World Series team, so I'm not giving up a ton of prospects. Baumgartner's not going to be cheap. He's going to cost you.
Is he?
Yes, sure is. And Corey Ray, he's now had a few games here since they brought him off the injured list, and he's reached base safely at six straight games, or he's got a six-game hitting streak or something. Adam McKelvey was tweeting about that just before we came on the air, that Corey Ray is playing really well.
So he's heating up.
Right. And, he's only been going here a short time, but and as McKelvey points out, this is an interesting note considering the trade deadline is coming up. So if Corey Ray is playing well, then all of a sudden you may have a team going, you give us Corey Ray and a couple other pieces and we'll give you Madison Bumgarner or whatever. And I'm not saying Corey Ray is untouchable for me, because he's not. If somebody wants Corey Ray, they can have Corey Ray as long as I'm getting something really good in return. I'm fine with that. Terang, I'm not trading. Hira, I'm not trading. Certain guys.
What about what's Travis Shaw doing down there? Anything on him yet?
He just hit another home run last night.
Another one.
Yeah. Yep. So I saw people tweeting about that last night, that he had another home run last night.
Because he's coming back.
Yeah, but the problem is, where is he coming back? Because Council said here is at second going forward. So that means first base is the only position for him. And Aguilar starting to go here. He hit 260 or whatever in the last month or whatever his numbers look like. So is he going to come back and replace Aguilar? Thames has had a pretty good year to this point. Does he come back and replace Thames? Or do they trade Travis Shaw? See, that's the other thing. Travis Shaw playing better, and he's under team control, so maybe Travis Shaw gets moved in a deal for a pitcher.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'd be fine with it too, if that's what they decide to do.
Right.
Okay, let's get to a sports flash with our guy Anthony Mandela, and they're coming up next. Gary Ellerson gives you his thought on what all has happened this NBA offseason, whether or not it's actually a good thing for the NBA. Straight ahead. Only on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.